So at 7:01, begin the Board of Directors meeting for Big Sky Water and Sewer District. I will ask for any comment from anyone about non-agenda items, and I'll give a second for people to give their comments if they want to.
And just for the record, it's 8:01 our time here, Tom.
Okay, 8:01, sorry.
No problem.
Hearing no public comment, I will go on to conflict of interest declarations. Dick?
I'm good, thank you.
Bill Schrockfrier?
None, thank you.
Peter Manka?
None, thanks.
Mike Dukanoy?
None.
Mike Wolf?
None.
Brian Wheeler?
None.
With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have the minutes, financial reports for February, and sewer and water operator reports. Any comments or questions from board members?
I'll move. We approve.
Bill Schrockfrier makes a motion to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
I second.
Mike Wilsinski seconds. Any further discussion? If not, I'll call the question. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
I think that's everyone. So we will move on to business action items. The first item is the 2021 SRF estimated mill rate for Gallatin and Madison counties.
All right, I just put it up on the screen. We do this every spring. It serves as a notice of intent to the county treasurer's offices, Madison Gallatin County, that we intend to levy a tax for our general obligation bonds. We update this in August, typically after we get the actual new valuation statements from the Department of Revenue. So Terry puts together an estimate based on the payments we'll be making in January and July of 2022 for both our water and sewer bonds. And he makes an estimate on the mill rate. And again, that'll change when we finalize this in August. Terry, do you need to add anything to that? Apparently not. So this just needs a motion approval, and then we'll get it signed by Tom and Dick and get it over to the counties.
I'll make a motion to approve the district tax levy summary for 2021.
I'll second it.
Mike Dukanoy makes a motion to approve the mill rate, and Bill Schrockfrier seconds. Any further discussion? Now I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 I think it passes unanimously. So with that, we will move on to the Big Sky Resort Area District Interlocal Agreement Amendment Approval.
We actually have item B, which is the final financial loan commitment letter.
Oh, I jumped ahead. Sorry. And I'll hand it over to Dan Simmons to go through that.
Good morning, members of the board. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So before you is the loan commitment letter. This has been before you in another iteration, and I believe it was approved. It's been amended slightly, but I don't think materially. there have been a couple of clarifications. In essence, the commitment letter regards a commitment by First Security Bank to loan the Water and Sewer District up to $42,715,929 for interest rate of 3.07% per annum fixed for 20, it's over a 30-year period, and it's fixed at that rate for 20 years, and then interest adjusts on an annual basis after the 20-year period. It has a 30-month drawdown feature, so all of the principal amount isn't advanced at once, which is nice for the district for a variety of reasons. I would say, in short, from my perspective, First Security Bank has been pretty cooperative in negotiating these terms and providing this offer. Those are the highlights of the commitment letter. Does anyone have any questions with regard to it? Tom, I think you're on mute.
Oh, I'm unmuted now, aren't I?
Yep.
Yeah, you are now.
Okay. I'll make a is there someone who wants to make a motion on approving this financial loan commitment letter?
Tom, I have one quick question since we're on the amount of $42 million plus. What's the $52 million that I keep hearing or reading about?
Yeah, I could take a stab at that, and I think Ron might be able to add some color as well. So the total cost of the project, the total all-in cost of the project, you know, with contingencies, cost of issuance, you know, all the engineering fees, you know, et cetera, loan reserves, is in the neighborhood of between $52 million and $53 million. The district will be providing its own funds to, you know, fill the delta there. So the loan itself is financing a portion of the total cost of the project. Did you want to add anything, Ron?
No, I think that sums it up. I put a copy of the Chronicle write up on this, which was in the April 16th newspaper, and you know, it's complicated financing stuff, and they, you know, reported it fairly accurately. I think they missed a few things, but people do get confused a little bit by just the capital cost versus the cost of doing the entire project. The number of this financial commitment is basically our base bid plus alternate one. Alternate one was $459,000 for the tank covers. So that's what we'll be awarding to the contractor initially. Carry on.
Ron, I have a question. And what is the date that we would have to make a decision on alternate bid number two, which is the other process basin?
We've got Scott Bucher over in our conference room. I'll let Scott take that one. You're muted there. There you go.
Just a verbal, Tom, but they're saying we let them know by July 2022, they should be okay on the price. We need to get them under contract and have that in writing.
Any other questions for Dan?
We've got Tim Kent on the meeting as well. I'd like to personally thank him and his team for all their work to get us to this point.
Well, thanks, Ron. But, you know, you guys have been just a pleasure to work with. Dan is the ultimate professional and has led us all through this. So looking forward to the next week and finishing the documentation here. And there might be a cold brewski popped or two here coming up soon. So thank you all.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, I want to ditto what Ron said, and it's nice to have a local business doing the financing.
Let's make an approval here. I'll make a motion to approve the First Security Bank loan commitment letter terms from the letter April 9, 2021.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Mike Dukinoy and a second from Mike Wasinski. Any further comments or questions? I think I should take a public comment as well, if there is any.
We were cracking champagne before we approved it.
I don't hear any public comment, so I'll call the question. And I guess for a loan of this size, maybe we'll take a roll call on this. First of all, Brian Wheeler.
Aye.
Dick Best.
Aye.
Peter Manka.
Aye.
Mike Wasinski.
Aye.
Bill Shropshire.
Bill, you're muted.
Mike Dukinoy.
Aye.
Bill Shropshire.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so it's unanimous. With that, we go on to the Big Sky Resort Area District Interlocal Agreement Amendment Approval.
Yeah, so in the board packet, I had put the last round of correspondence I got from Ken Beatty and a draft of the interlocal agreement that had some redlining and some issues of concern at that point. The resort tax folks met yesterday and we got through it. They agreed to sign it. I've got an actual, I think, 5 copies in my office now that have been signed by the resort tax group. I know we've got Steve Johnson on the meeting, and I want to also thank him for his work and the resort tax group to get us done with this. And so I've just pulled up a clean version that Dan sent around, Dan Simmons, and Tom has signed it as chair. Dick Fast is going to come by later today to sign the attest lines on the document. Dan, you need me to overnight these then?
Well, I think right now, if you could just send the scanned, fully executed agreement, we're overnighting 5 signature pages to Tom, and he'll overnight them, either to me or to you. We can talk about that, Ron, today. And then we'll have the originals, and then we'll have 5 original counterparts. And one of the reasons for having 5 original counterparts is under the interlocal agreement statutes, it provides that, you know, each interlocal agreement, each version, each original version needs to be filed with the county in which the districts are located. So that's Madison and Gallatin. And then also with the Secretary of State. So we'd have 5 originals, 3 of which would get filed, 1 of which WSD would retain, and 1 of which RAD would retain. And so just the logistics is Tom will have to overnight today the signature, the original signature. He's already signed and scanned, and that's actually enough for an enforceable agreement, but
So Tom is signing five original signature pages?
That's right.
Okay. You know, this has largely been done at the committee level with the Steve and Kevin for resort tax, Danny, their counsel, and then our counsel, and Mike Ducanoy and Tom Reed. So I put this on the agenda so that we've got a record that the full board also agrees with the terms of it. So we've got an action item for a motion approving it with our entire district board for the record.
I have one question. The changes that I saw in, I guess, red and blue on the preliminary stuff for the meeting yesterday, talking about the ARPA contribution, if there is one, how does that fit in with the funds we have from the resort tax? Do they supplement, or other sources from the loan, do they supplement it, or are they replaced by the ARPA?
You want to take that one, Dan?
Sure. Dick, that's an excellent question. And one I think both districts have been grappling with. So A, you're correct. It's not known whether ARPA funds will be received by the district for what's called the WRF Phase 1 project. And ARPA funds might and hopefully will be received with regard to some other projects that the Water and Sewer District would very much like to do, and in some cases has to do. What the agreement provides is if any ARPA funds are received by the district in connection with the WRF Phase 1 project, the districts would meet and negotiate and amend the agreement, to reflect the receipt of the ARPA funds in relation to the original sort of notion of a 60-40 cost share arrangement with regard to the total costs of the WRF project. And so unless the parties mutually agree otherwise, so in essence, there would be a negotiation, I would suspect, depending on the magnitude of the receipt of the ARPA funds. That's just, it's left open to decide the final outcome of receipt of ARPA funds in connection with the WRF Phase 1 project.
Dick, to your point is, we ended up agreeing that since this ARPA bill, excuse me, is so uncertain as to what the language is going to say and whether we're even going to qualify for it, it was pretty difficult to come up with the ultimate language that says exactly how we would handle it. But I think both boards have worked very collaboratively together. And so I firmly believe that if we do get some funds for this project, that we will figure a way out of it that it will be fair for both sides.
Dick, I think that makes sense. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Dan.
Welcome. Any other questions? Well, then I would entertain a motion on approving the Resort Area District Interlocal Agreement Amendment approval.
Are you entertaining it, or are you making it?
I don't know. What's a motion? Dick Fass has made a motion.
I'll second it.
Bill Shropshire seconds. Any further discussion? any public comment, and I'll give a few minutes for that.
This is Danny from the Big Sky Resort Area District. Just wanted to thank everyone for your patience as we waded through this process. Tom hit it on the head. Yes, it has been a very collaborative process for both parties. And our initial concern regarding full payment of all collections from the 1% was addressed. I just wanted to thank everyone for wading through that, as that was a major consideration for us to get through the to get through the Canyon project in the future when that does come up in line. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Then I'll do a roll call for approving this, and I will start out with Dick Vest.
I agree. Approve.
Brian Wheeler.
Approve.
Peter Manka.
I approve.
Bill Schrockfire.
Aye.
Mike Wasinski.
Aye.
Mike Dukanoy.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. It's unanimous. Next item is it's resolution number 21-02 related to the sale of sewer revenue bonds, series 2021A, authorizing the negotiation and execution of a bond purchase agreement with First Security Bank, division of Glacier Bank.
So I've got a two-page resolution that was drafted by Dan and Courtney. I want to spend just a few minutes kind of walking through the next steps here with our bond council, just so everybody's on the same page on what needs to happen as we move forward. So Courtney or Dan, if you want to summarize this resolution for us.
Courtney, do you want to take a shot at it?
Sure. So, you know, earlier this morning, the board approved the term sheet from First Security Bank. And this, we've been working with Tim and his counsel, David Bjornson, on a bond purchase agreement that would sort of cement or document the agreement of First Security Bank to purchase the bonds to be sold by the district, and the agreement of the district to sell those bonds in accordance with the terms of the term sheet. And we're moving forward in that process. I expect that we'll have a final agreement fairly soon. And this resolution would approve, it would authorize and direct some officers of the district to, continue negotiating this bond purchase agreement, and then approve it and execute it so long as the terms of the bond purchase agreement match the terms of the term sheet that was approved.
And I would, this is Dan, I'd just add, first, thanks, Courtney. That's a very good description of what this resolution does in terms of delegating authority to, members of the board and officers of the district to negotiate and execute the bond purchase agreement. The bond purchase agreement really fleshes out all of the terms and conditions of the bond. So you might imagine it's a fairly lengthy document, particularly in this context where there are a lot of kind of balls to keep in the air and watch. And so we have to address a number of factors that are A, consistent with the letter of commitment, and B, that, you know, make sense to the district and are feasible to be achieved by the district. And then, you know, kind of the rights and obligations as between the district and the bank. And we've sent out a draft of that, to Tim and David Bjornson they have provided comments over the weekend. And by the way, you know, thanks to First Security Bank over the weekend, there was, you know, there were a fair number of things to tie down. And thanks for jumping on this over the weekend. And so, as Courtney mentioned, we'll have to negotiate the final terms of the bond purchase agreement in fairly short order because, you know, the BPA, as Courtney said, evidences the obligation of the district to sell and the obligation of the bank to buy the bonds. And we need to have that in place before the district awards bids so that we have the financing tied down. And the district has to award bids by April 29. So we want to get this done as soon as we can and certainly before April 29. And so that will put us in a good position with regard to the financing once the bond purchase agreement is signed by the bank and the district. And then just keep in mind there's one final material step that the board would undertake, and that's adoption of the bond resolution that would fix the terms and conditions of the bonds based on what the bond purchase agreement says. So we're kind of layering on top of things. We have the commitment letter, and, you know, for the commitment letter to all make sense, you know, one of the key documents is this interlocal agreement, which provides critical security for the repayment of the bonds. And then we layer on top of that the bond purchase agreement, and then the final layer will be the bond resolution at a subsequent date before the bonds are issued and the bank buys the bonds and the district gets the first advance of the bond proceeds.
I put a copy of the draft bond purchase agreement on the board packet, so they have that. And I don't know if there's any questions on it, but my biggest issue is just the turnaround this is going to take so we can issue a notice of award to our contractor.
Any comments or questions? If none, I would entertain a motion. Would a board member like to make a motion on this bond purchase agreement or the resolution for the sale to the sewer system revenue bond?
I'll make that motion.
Mike Duconoy made a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mike Duconoy and a second by Peter Manka relating to the resolution 21-02, authorizing the negotiation and execution of a bond purchase agreement with First Security Bank, Division of Glacier Bank. Any further questions or comments? I would take public comment, and I'll give a few seconds for that.
Hi, this is Mary Ann Comstock, and I want to commend the board and a thank you to Dan Simmons and his team and First Security Bank for going through this process and really moving this project forward. It's needed.
Thank you, Marianne.
You're welcome.
I don't hear any other...
Yeah, Tom, I have one comment.
Okay.
I'm all in favor of this, but I do want to maybe put down a marker that as we go forward, we're getting a lot of requests for annexations, additions to the district, new hookups. I would like just to make sure that as we go ahead, consider the cost, let's call it the sunk cost in our system when we bring on new customers. that they end up paying a fair share of what's been put up before they join the district.
Well, I think that'll be up to us when we annex in, that we consider those sunk costs that have been put in by the ratepayers who are currently in the system.
Thank you.
And we've started our work on looking at the plant investment charge hookup fees. Ryan Graff, Terry, and myself, we will ratchet that up now that we've got this financing package done and get our contract awarded. So I don't know if we'll be ready to roll that out at the May meeting. We may have a preliminary report from Ryan Graff. So we are going to be looking at all of that in terms of those sunk costs and new connections and how much it's going to cost to connect to the system.
Well, there's the normal PIC fees, which everybody, even in the who are currently in the district and who have been paying in on tax GO bonds have been paying, even though they're not connected. And then is there a charge that we can impose for annexing it into the district? That's a question for Ron.
Well, it's kind of a legal question too, but one of the things that's pretty clear in the annexation provisions of 713 County Water and Sewer District Law is you have to demonstrate you've got capacity for these things. So that becomes a key question, and especially when you're annexing new property, when you've got vacant land commitments out there for everybody that's been in the district paying all the way through. So I think any annexations have to be conditioned on capacity for that. And how those ordinances are written when you annex property, those conditions, I think, would be part of that consideration. When service would be available for anything that's being annexed. The bank property across the road from us is, you know, they're chomping at the bit to file a petition for annexation. We've held them off just because we've been working on trying to get our contracts done so we could build the new plant, which will add capacity to this, but it won't be online for some time, a couple of years, 30-month build period. So, but they will be soon coming in with petition for annexation.
Back to my question, Ron, is can we, part of those conditions, is there a way of recapturing what has been paid into the system for people who are now joining the district?
I think so, yes. And that would be a condition of your annexation ordinance, where that could be a number that's, there has to be some basis for it, but I do think you could do that. And again, we would have to get legal to come alongside that, but I think it's real.
Well, when we look at PIC fees, can we also look at that?
Yes. So
we have a fair and equitable method of, because as Dick Fast said, we have multiple parties at least talking about joining the district. And I think that'll heat up as time goes on.
Agreed.
And I would just say that, yes, there's various ways that you could structure a fee that would be fair and equitable, and that would kind of be the touchstone and, you know, kind of uniformly applied. And, you know, largely I think that might be a exercise that Susan Swimley will have to struggle with, and we'd be happy to talk to her about it if she so desired. But yeah, there's flexibility under the water and sewer district statutes to, you know, do, for example, a latecomer fee type arrangement, and various arrangements for, built capacity that others have not yet paid for.
Thank you.
Well, I think we have a motion on the table that's been made and seconded, and I will call the question if there's no further comments. And I will roll call this again, starting off with Brian Wheeler.
In favor.
Dick Fast.
I agree.
Peter Manka.
Aye.
Bill Schrocktrier.
Aye.
Mike Wasinski.
Aye.
Mike Dukanoy.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Passes unanimously. All right, moving right along, we're moving pretty fast here, is authorization to execute the construction contract notice of award.
So in the board packet, there's a form. This is right out of our bid documents. This is the first step to put our contractor on notice that we intend to proceed forward. The numbers are listed there. This, in my write-up to you on this, I said we need to make this a conditional approval, and that condition is after the bond purchase agreement is fully executed. So I'm looking for a motion to approve this with that condition in it. And that would authorize me as a manager to go ahead and sign it once we have the bond purchase agreement signed.
Is there any concern that the bond purchase agreement would not be, you know, signed and executed in time for this April 29th timeframe?
Tim, is there any concern about that?
Hey, Mike, sorry, I'm mute there. You know, we've been through that bond purchase agreement once. I think the comments are pretty light in terms of anything that needs to be cleaned up there. And so I don't anticipate there being much of a delay, a couple days here. We should have that part signed. And then it, as Dan and Courtney explained, then it'll go back to them to draft the full bond resolution. And again, you know, once the commitment is done, the bond purchase agreement is done, then really all the variables have been discussed, and the rest of it should be relatively boilerplate. So, no, I don't anticipate any delays at all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Any other comments, questions? I would take any public comment, and I'll give a few seconds for that. Then we need a motion to authorize the execution of the construction contract.
Make a motion to extend the year.
I think we have a motion from Mike Wilsinski and a second from Bill Schrocktrier.
And in that motion, we need to have the conditional part of that.
With the,
right after the bond purchase agreement is executed.
I make that motion.
I'll call the question. Brian Wheeler.
In favor.
Dick Fast.
Aye.
Peter Manka.
Aye.
Bill Schrocktrier.
Aye.
Mike Wilsinski.
Aye.
Mike Dukanoy.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. It's passed unanimously. Moving on to the Little Coyote right-of-way agreement.
You will recall at the March meeting, we had Tony Gatto from Sanderson Stewart here presenting a right-of-way agreement to the district board in that first iteration of this. And they were hoping that we could just donate the value of this to the cause. And Susan Swimley said we cannot. And so they've come back with a revision to that. And I did sign this so they could go ahead and get their bids out the door for the Tiger Grant project. We instructed them to hold it for recording until we get a full board motion on this. So we're kind of doing it retroactively, but the compensation is now $3,000, and that valuation is based on the value of the trail easement, which is a very small piece of this, and a tree that's going to come out by our entrance sign. And this was the area on their map view there. That's the area affected by this. And Tony said that he needs documentation from a board meeting that this has been approved by our board. So I'm looking for a motion for the meeting record that the board's agreeable to the compensation terms.
Any comments, or have we gone through this the last meeting so there are none?
I think the deficiency has been addressed, which was the valuation. And unless we've got an issue with that, everything else is basically the same.
No, I think we already agreed to this methodology.
We did. And so Tony just needs a motion from our board minutes that we've approved this right of way agreement.
I entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Brian Wheeler. I heard two voices. I think Brian Wheeler made a motion. Is that correct?
I did.
And a second?
Dick, I'll make that second.
Dick Fass seconds the motion to approve the right-of-way agreement. Any further discussion? Any public comment? Call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Going on to the lobbying contract for the ARPA funding. And I think there was in Ron's letter, his general manager report, he was talking about the cost share of being a 50-50 split. And I actually think it's a 60-40 split that we agreed with resort tax to pay 60% and we pay 40%. So I went ahead and signed this lobbying contract, and this lobbying contract is to make sure that any ARPA bill that is passed by the state legislature would get us in line to receive monies for the project that we have just approved, which is phase one of the water treatment. It's also would encompass phase two, which is, would double the capacity of the plant, and also the advanced treatment or the higher level treatment. And I think it's also included in the lobbying for the pipeline down to the Conoco, the two pipelines, one up and one down. And the reason I went ahead and signed this, and I think I called everyone and talked to them and got their on the board, their opinion, is that since the legislature was in session, it was critical that we get started on this prior to a formal meeting. And now we are just trying to, I think the total cost of this is $60,000. And it can be canceled with a 15-day written notice if we decide we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, that was a good move. I mean, we need to be represented at the state level, and this was a mechanism to get us representation there. So it was a kind of a fast-paced decision, but I think it was a great call to get our projects out in Helena.
I agree with Mike on that. Do I read that correct, that it's $40,000 kind of across the board and then 20 if they're successful?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Do you want a motion to provide some cover for your already signed document, Tom? Is that what we're looking for?
Yes, it's on the agenda for approval of this contract.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the lobbying contract as presented.
Motion by Mike Dukinoy.
I'll second it.
Dick Fast seconds. Any further discussion? Public comment? I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 You dodged a bullet, Tom.
Paid for Alice's wedding now.
Yeah, I guess. passes unanimously.
And just to add to this section of the agenda, Kevin Germain reached out and wanted us to provide some short summary descriptions of the various projects we've got going on here. So I put a memo cover together and then four short descriptions of each of these projects that went up to the lobbyists, what they do with this, I'm not exactly sure, but hopefully it's being circulated among some of these committees that are working on this up in Helena. We've also talked to DNRC about this, and last week I talked to Ann Miller, and so we're going to get on their list for eventual funding, we hope, and see where it goes. But so I think they've got everything, at least to this point, that they need from us. Plus now with this contract, they've got some coverage for their time working on it. So.
Ron, I know you've got that in the package. Could you send a copy of that standalone memo?
Sure.
Us?
Yep, we'll do.
That'd be a great reference to have.
I can do that. Just make a note here.
Thank you.
All right, the final business action item today is reallocation of $35,000 from the engineering contract funds to a snowmaking study in conjunction with Spanish Peaks and Boyne, or Big Sky Resort.
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion from Bill Shropshire, a second from Mike Wilsinski. Any discussion?
Well, this is a collaborative effort from a number of groups. Kristen Gardner is kind of running point with this, with the resort tax application. This is coming off the heels of some really good work that, you know, Rich Chandler shared with us. There are permits in for public comment right now, and this uses their consultant, who has a good baseline of what's going on here in Big Sky, to do some studies on the Boyne side of things up there, looking at snowmaking. We need to get this going to get the spring runoff events and field work done for that. So it's been not rushed, but we don't have a lot of time to get this figured out. So we would be a party to this in the amount of $35,000. We've got the funds from our existing engineering contract. So we're just repurposing money that was allocated to the firelight study, and we're just going to repurpose that, so it's coming out of that.
Following that public comment period that ends, I think, May 5th for the Yellowstone Club project, assuming there's no opposition to it, what are the chances that it would be opposition at the state level and not allow that snowmaking to happen?
Well, so the comment closes May 5th. I think they extended it. DEQ will then look at those comments and reply to that. And then it's up to the department to either approve the permit or deny it at that point. I don't know how much feedback comments they're getting on that. You know, they've got a number of permits in for comment all the time. I sent a letter in, which is in the packet, in support of their permit application, for obvious reasons, cited a long history that we've had looking at snowmaking as a potential option for disposal for us here in Big Sky. So
we have a lot, positive commentary going into the DEQ on this. I don't anticipate, too many issues with the public comment period on this. Including even Trout Unlimited, we got some pretty robust groups out there that have supported this this permit.
Yes, and Rich has done a good job kind of walking this to all the groups and doing presentations to explain what's going on with each one of them to get that kind of support. We've got Kristen Gardner on the meeting. Kristen, could you unmute and just fill us in on your application with the resort tax for this?
Yeah, sure. So I submitted a application for resort tax for half of the cost of this snowmaking study, $105,000, I believe, and then the other half would be covered by the Water and Sewer District, Cross Harbor, and Boyne, and we've had support from all of them. So I'm really excited about this. I think maximizing the recycling of treated wastewater as snow has the potential to be the biggest impact, I think, of any project we could pursue as a community to protect water quality and quantity. So I'm really excited about this moving forward.
Thank you.
I have a question for Mike Wilsinski. Is you have your own wastewater treatment facility. Is there any desire on your part to eventually have snowmaking down in Moonlight?
There is. Yep. We're working on that. Currently use it for the golf course, irrigate the golf course, and we will, you know, at some point in time, following the foothills of Yellowstone Club, and hopefully a successful effort with Spanish Peaks and Boyne, we would, you know, be in a position to do the same thing.
Did you say you are irrigating the golf course in Moonlight with reuse water?
We are, yes.
Well, we have a motion to approve this reallocation of the engineering contract. Motion and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Moving on to capital improvement projects. I think that's Scott Bucher.
Ron, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Courtney and I need to drop off for 9 o'clock. Is there any reason for us to stay on, or any last questions? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thanks, right. Dan, for all your work.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, thank
you.
Dan.
Yeah, you bet. Take care. Dan. Bye.
Yeah, so now we're down to old business. The project update. Scott Bucher's here at our office. I wrote up a little summary there, talked about the article in the paper on the sources and use, and Bridget Ekstrom sent us an updated sources and use table, which is enclosed in my report right here. So, Scott, you want to go ahead and give us a verbal update?
Sure. As far as the project goes, it was all about the financing procurement and the NOLA, which we just got authorization to sign once the bond purchase agreement is signed. So I'll just stay in touch and try to push as much as I can for signatures so we can get that done before the 29th. So I'll do a little bit of contracting with RSCI.
What do you think on a notice to proceed after we do the notice of award?
Well, if we get the contracts back and everything looks good in early May, we might be able to do that at the May board meeting.
So should we be thinking about a special meeting before that? The regular meeting will be May 18th. do we need to be working faster than that with the notice to proceed?
It wouldn't hurt to maybe book a meeting with the subcommittee just to make sure if there's anything to discuss with the contract back and forth with RSCI. I don't know if we need a whole board, that's up to you all.
Right. Well, I'm thinking we want to come in off the heels of the notice of award pretty quickly with notice to proceed.
I would say that the subcommittee, which I think is Mike Dukanoy and Mike Wilsinski, since we've already approved the contract award, that they could move ahead with any of the details that need to be considered.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Good.
RCI will have 15 days to get back to us once we give them notice of award with contracts. So where's that put us?
Pretty close to the 18th. Okay, we'll proceed that way then.
Let's just make sure that, I don't know, maybe Scott, or I don't know if Susan's the construction contracting liaison that we need here, but I mean, maybe Scott has a recommendation on that. I don't know how you feel, Ron, but should we try to reserve some of Susan's time in that 15-day window?
We can, and she's reviewed contract documents on this project with the engineers before, so she could serve in that capacity.
We'll try to do it on our own, but if there's any sticking points in there, we might need her help.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mike, she did review the contract as it was in the bid documents. She has been engaged and knows what it says right now.
And RCI is good with that?
RCI has been given it just as a heads up, but they won't really engage hard on it until they get it in the way. A couple of things, just not necessarily capital improvements projects, but I wanted to make sure everybody understood that ARPA at the state level is now outlined in a draft bill 632. Applications would be due on July 1st, and you need a 50% matching amount from the owner to get those grants. What's not really well defined yet is what that July 1st application needs to look like. So as soon as we know, we'll let you know. Ryan Graff could present as soon as next month on the PIC update. These models just been waiting for that final financing agreement. So if you want, we can go ahead and plan for that. We can present on a draft PIC fee.
Can we make sure that he also addresses the issue that we talked about before about annexing into the district?
Yes. I think you are on the right track there. I mean, certainly, the PIC would feed into any annexation negotiation, but you also negotiate annexations on a sort of case by case. You have some leeway there. So yes, he could, and if you want to have an outline of how you would commit to addressing annexation requests in there, we can talk about that.
Yeah, I definitely think we need a policy on that. That is, rather than each one of these being a one-up, is that we can have a policy that applies to everybody who wants to annex into the district.
Okay. I'm up here today in part to, we're going to do an APIA workshop after this. That's the American Water Infrastructure Act that you're required to do for EPA by June 30th. It's a risk and resilience assessment and an emergency response plan. We had provided a scope and feed to Jim. I don't know if Jim's. I just wanted to let you all know we're doing that work. We had to get started because it's due pretty quickly, but it's not a big deal. I think our scope is 24,000. We don't have signatures on that or anything yet, but we're going to take off on it and get it done. Work with you all and figure it out. And then we'll also, I'll be up here looking at these reuse pump stations. Inside the pump station pumping valve, this crane's interested in trying to upsize the pumps to give you a little bit more catch-up capacity, I'd call it, with the reuse pump stations. If you have something fail or a bad month or whatever, right now you kind of redline that. Having to everything perfectly to catch up. So you kind of try to shove a little bit more. And that's all I've got for this month.
In my report, I wrote that we posted the job description in a few places of professional kind of organizations for grants position, other wastewater superintendent. We've gotten a few letters of interest, a few resumes in, I think four or five when I checked last week. And so we'll, you know, hopefully get more of those coming in, but we haven't been slammed with a lot to this point.
I should add, Ron, Grant called me and asked me if we could run that in the Chronicle and Lone Peak Outlook. And I told him, I didn't see why not. It'll be a little fee, I think. But I think Jen's already called him and got it lined up.
Okay.
All right. Did you want to make any comments on the canyon study, Scott?
We've got Mace on the meeting, and I wrote up a little summary in my report. Mace, would you mind unmuting? And
yeah, can you hear me all right, Ron?
Yep, I can.
Okay. From a simple summary basis, I'd say we're basically at the 50% stage. Ron has the bullets right in front of you. We are due to reach out to Mark Kinnane this week, just see what his availability is to kind of gut check some of our findings and offer some input and just sync up, yeah, the technical aspects. And my goal is to present to the board next month before we submit our report to DEQ. So that's it in a short summary basis.
You're feeling good about where you are thus far?
Yeah, from a non-DAG standpoint, basically with high-quality effluent, we're going in the ground clean. So documenting groundwater non-DAG is fairly straightforward. When you get to the river, our discussions with DEQ have shown that they're going to view it as instantaneous dilution. And our numbers are showing negligible gain, in my opinion. That opinion is fairly solid, that we're barely moving the needle. DEQ may have other opinions, so I want to just lock that in with them in terms of general in-stream concentration gains. And then what we're tackling this week is basically the physical capacity of the aquifer to say, okay, if we're throwing 200,000 gallons per day into the aquifer on, say, the quarry project, what's the mounding implications? The hydraulic capacity of these discharge sites. So,
okay. Thank you. So we will put that on the May agenda then, Mays.
Sounds good. I'll be ready.
Okay.
Just a follow-up to Mason, Ron. The snowmaking, that would be the $35,000 this spring would be your work for Casey Harvey to do all that, document existing conditions and try to get all the stakeholders to start talking about how much land, how much water would that be. Because if Mason or Canyon is successful at disposal down there, eventually you would have three golf courses, purple pipe, maybe snowmaking, maybe Canyon disposal. And so you're going to have to start trying to figure out the water balance and what your hard commitments are, what your flexibilities are, and how that would all look. It's going to be challenging because in the early years, if you're successful at getting these other disposal methodologies in place, you're going to have not enough water to go around potentially. Long run, plenty of water is just bracing you all to be ready to come to the table and start talking about those kind of things this summer.
Yeah, I'm tracking you, Scott. It comes down to, I guess, cost to dispose and value of, say, snowmaking versus gravity discharge of the canyon. And there's a balancing act there. And golf course application has its value too. So,
for what it's worth, I've been warned by some Bozeman-based conservation organizations that they can't wait to jump on this one.
That's good. You're going to need all the support you can get.
One other thing under the engineering section here is I've asked AGU to look at our pumping capacity with our two pump stations, one down here below our ponds, one up in the Yellowstone Club, to figure out what the upper limit of that could be in terms of pumping capacity, either by retrofitting pumps or changing pumps out to bigger pumps, looking at system pressures, all of that. So they are working on that. Right now, we're doing about 400,000 gallons a day pretty consistently. Grant changed one of our pumps out, so the performance is a little better, but we know that pipeline could handle more, and that's what we're trying to figure out. And Scott, I think you've got to go up and actually inspect that pump station today, don't you? IC2.
Yeah, we need to just document that the fittings and valves inside can handle more pressure. So you're already ballpark 500 psi. If you push more water, it could be at 550, 600. That's the lid on the capacity getting up there is just the back pressure. So we want to make sure one thing up if you do put in larger impellers or bigger pumps.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, everyone. One thing that's not on the agenda is talking about the budget a little bit. And we've in the past had a subcommittee of Peter Manka, Dick Fast, and myself on the budget committee. I would like to have somebody replace me on the budget committee this year. And I don't know if somebody else wants to volunteer. Brian?
You're doing such a good job. Nobody wants to step up and put their feet in your shoes.
You know what? I'll do it. I'll step on that one. You bet.
Yeah, I'm going to be traveling a bunch in the next few weeks, and I didn't want to have any delays because I was unavailable.
Well, that is my problem, too. We're going to try to get back to Illinois for the first time in 14 months, leaving here on the 8th of May and coming back about a month later.
The only question I'd have is I will be on the road a bit starting in 2 weeks, but we can just get over that hump. We'll be I'll be available after that.
When are you leaving, Brian?
I'm leaving the 2nd or 3rd of May.
Oh, okay.
All right. After that.
Well, in the board packet, there was a draft budget. I wrote up a few paragraphs about the budget, talked about getting a committee put together again, which has worked very well for us for a long time. Things are changing. There's a House Bill 255, which is kind of messing with how rate ordinances are done and the kinds of notices that you have to do. So Terry and I have basically worked up the legal ad for the newspaper in a mailing that would go out in the event we have to do a mail out notice. House Bill 255 is still alive in the legislature. We don't know if it's going to become law. And what it does is it changes the requirements. So anytime you have a budget increase, whether it's 1%, 3%, whatever, it would require a mail out notice. And in our case, that's about 3,000 pieces of mail going to our customer and owner databases based on unique addressing. So it's an expensive step in that, and we're just not sure if it's going to be required. So we're proposing we do the rate ordinance at the May 18th meeting with a public hearing there to adopt it by July 1st. So the schedule I put down, we have to pretty much stick to that. We will need to do a special meeting after the May 18th meeting. I proposed June 1st to do a second reading, and it could be just that one agenda item. And that lines us up to have the new rate in effect by July 1st. Terry, you want to add anything to that?
Ron, is one thing I'd like you to look at too is whether I know we're talking about a 5% increase across the board. Could we also look at maybe a 5% on the base in tier one and maybe 10% on tier three and 15% on tier four? And the reason I'm bringing that up is water seems to be a looming issue for this district. And I think we want to encourage conservation of irrigation water, which is what tier three and tier four addresses. And I think we need to make sure that people are thinking about conservation in the future. And I think a more substantial rate increase on those tiers may make some sense.
And we can look at that and see what the revenue implications are of that.
I'll pass that along to Ryan.
Yep.
Ron, what do you see as the schedule for the subcommittee meeting?
Well, we'll want to do it before Brian leaves town. Maybe try to do two sessions before he takes off.
I'm leaving the 29th for a week and a half.
Okay, so then one for sure and make room for potentially two committee meetings on this.
But I'll be at my daughter's in band. I could be on a Zoom call from there.
We'll try to do it so you don't have to Zoom on your vacation. So we've got, you know, the draft budget that's in the packet that assumes a 5% increase. For every 1% we increase, that generates about $20,000. One of the key line items, which I wrote up, was about the legal line item. And talking to John Rauschway, we're going to, that number will come down probably substantially because most of our expense is going to be incurred in this fiscal year. And he anticipates costs in July through like September. So whether you sit at 5% or, you know, change the tier charges, that could happen. I don't think we're going to have to go more than 5% based on my conversation with John to cover that legal. Terry, you're showing it as a net loss of $200,000, and that's largely driven by the $250,000 legal line item there.
Yes, that's correct, Ron.
I have a question for Terry and maybe Ron is, I noticed that so far this year that we are about $200,000 ahead of plan on revenue. Can that fund this legal expense?
Tom, we are ahead right now, but our late quarter is the April 1st through June 30th. So, and that's the period where our water and sewer operators do a lot of repairs and maintenance. And as a result, there may be some available for that, but I wouldn't count on it.
Thank you. So are we ready for developments and subdivisions?
I think so. I didn't have anything in the board packet on this, but I did write up a little bit of follow-up. At the last meeting, we spent a fair amount of time talking about the Spanish Peaks and the memo that the committee put forward to Spanish Peaks. At that meeting, the board asked me to reach out to legal and get some input from Susan Swimley on the memo and some of the issues that have been talked about in that context in Section 33 and the exhibit F to the original agreement. So I bullet listed some of the questions I posed to Susan. We have not gotten anything back from her, but I also haven't been pushing her to get it back. The big ball in here was getting our financing figured out for the plan. So now that that's done, we'll try to have something from her for the next board meeting on that. And if there are any other questions that I missed or you think we need to pose to her, just let me know and get those covered.
Hey, Ron and Tom, along these lines, I don't know if everybody or anybody saw in the papers, there are two meetings coming up with county commissioners on April
29th.
Is it 29th, right? 26th.
Is it the 26th?
The Madison County has a meeting to talk about development and excuse me, sections 31 and 32. And that's,
is that different than the joint county commission meeting?
That's different, yes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
This is an evening meeting of Madison County to development plans for 31 and 32 in Spanish Peaks. And they're on a different system, WebEx.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested, I'm going to sit in on that. And then May 13th, Gallatin County is having a meeting to look at Section 33 development.
Right. And there's a joint county commission at the Wilson. I believe it's April 29th here in Big Spring.
That one, they're going to look at the Tiger grant. Well, that's the eggs and issues.
Right.
And then I think of some work on governance between the two joint or the joint commission meetings.
Yes.
If anybody wants, I've got the passwords and things for those meetings. If someone's interested, let me know and I'll pass them on to you.
Yeah, I'll get them from you, Dick, and then I'll kick it out to the whole board or meeting list.
Okay. I'll send them to you.
Okay. Thanks. And one other, you mentioned Section 32, so that's the area that's outside of the district. And I did send a letter to John Olson that, you know, at this time, the district's not annexing it. It's not going to serve it with its public sewer system. So they're moving forward on their development plans with on-site wastewater treatment and disposal, and they'll continue on their path for their 32 development. Down to the, under the water, we're going to be, water system capital improvements. I had a little update there. We're going to get together with Mark Kinane. We still have two wells to drill, up on the mountain. And I don't know how much snow is still up there, quite a bit, but we'll try to get schedule figured out when the driller will be back to do that. We also want to meet with Boyne and Brian Wheeler to look at the possibilities up above Montana Club development there, and maybe some other areas that they might have in mind, and look at possibilities there as well. We'll try to do that before you leave town, Brian.
Got it.
Ron, have we ever looked for water down at the base of Southern Comfort?
The base of Southern Comfort? No, we have not. No, and I don't know if Spanish Peaks has either. So we haven't.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, John, we've drilled multiple wells in that vicinity, and there is not enough there for a production well, even to serve the Spanish Peaks Phase 2 system. So not really a viable option.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
So I think we're down to the customer portal. I reported that we have that running now, and we used it for the first quarter billing for 2021 here. And so we've made some changes to our web page here. It now takes you over to this screen. WaterSmart also sent out letters to our customer account list, notifying people that this is available. And we're getting some good feedback. We're also getting some calls. People, anytime you roll something new out, it always drives some calls and questions on how it works. But it is up and running. People are now able to see how much they owe. They can make payments online. They can set up recurring ACH payments, recurring credit cards. So it really kind of does it all. Plus, it's got a lot of water use benchmarkings. People can set up alerts for their water meters, and it really is the combined suite of things that puts all this information in our customers' hands. Terry, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so far it really has been good. I've had a number of customers who have multiple accounts who set up, five, six accounts under one email address, and we're able to monitor all of their accounts under one platform, and are really thrilled with what we have for them. So it's been a good first month there.
Terry, this is Dick. Are the months, billing months, changing now by an extra month, or is that going to go back to the regular? I noticed the first quarter is now March or May instead of April.
No, the court, it stays the same. All the billings remains the same. Okay. So, calendar quarters is what we bill on.
But didn't the payment first quarter used to be, or the spring, January, February, March used to be April payment?
Oh, for your ACHs, yeah, we moved the ACHs back with respect to the new platform. So all the payments are due at the same time on May 17th now, And that's when those ACH will be processed. When I process those in-house, for cash flow reasons, I initiated the ACHs in April rather than May. And that is just a slight change. It's not changing when we bill, it's just when we're collecting some of the payments. And most of the payments come in probably 3 weeks after, and then you get another large amount of payments coming in on the due date. So it's our cash flow should not be affected too much by that.
So I got a quick question on this. One of the primary reasons we went to this system was water conservation. Can we set up alerts and things like that for customers? I know we're just getting it rolling and we're breaking it in or whatever, but I'm sure the potential of this program will allow us to alert customers on excessive usage or things like that, send emails out in an effort to promote conservation.
Mike, yes, indeed. That there are within the platform, we can send out emails to any customer that we identify having, you know, high use or continuous use. So it is available for us to do that. Yes.
So let's. I think next step is now that it's going to be up and running is to try to maximize its value and the potential of the software, not just for customers to log in and check their billing or whatever, but actually, you know, using it for the conservation methods that were promoted on the front side.
Yeah, on the portal, Mike, customer can set their own notification levels.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're a water abuser, you're not setting a notification level to do whatever. So we might want to set some of those up on our own. I don't know. Or maybe we can put a report in the water operator's report or whatever for every board meeting of our top 10 users or top 10 residential users in there. Maybe not by name, but account number or something like that. So it's not some big, huge public record or outing of customers. But it'd be curious to see if there was a ability for us to hyper-focus on 10% of our clientele instead of just everybody.
Right, and to Tom's comment earlier about tagging some of these tiers as they get more and more use and cross it from tier 2 to tier 3 and looking at more punitive rates that correspond, that may help drive behavior too.
Yeah, Ron's talked about this for years. Conservation's like finding a new well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it definitely gives us some new tools that we've never had. Plus, we've got the census, the bigger platform, just wrapped into the metering reading side of what we do that gives Jake alerts on water usage and 24-hour consumption where we've got a leak that's leaky toilet running 24/7, things like that. So we've got a lot of good stuff at our disposal now that we didn't have before this system. And I'm hearing that the Yellowstone Club is looking at doing the same thing as far as going fixed base. I know Nate's been meeting with our vendors on it, and I think they're looking at it pretty hard for their platform as well up there, which I think is a great, great move for the club.
I think the biggest use of this thing is going to be the water restrictions, the even and odd days or the odd and even days or however we do it, lot numbers, or I can't even remember how the program rolls out, but you can really tell if people are conforming to this based on that.
Yeah. So it took a lot of time, but I think now that it's up and running, it was well worth our efforts to go this route with this platform.
Okay, I think we're ready to go on to new business.
Yes. Really, the only thing to talk about, this kind of crept up on us. We're down to 5 SFEs available, so I need to get together with Bucher, look at our plant flows to put another ordinance
together for SFEs for permitting. I believe we've got 400 that we could be working with at this point. The permit activity has been a lot since January, since March, actually. There's a lot of stuff in Spanish Peaks, a little bit in Blue Grouse, a little bit over in town center. So there's a lot going on.
So if I remember right, Ron, on that, we allocated the last 400, and based on what we did then, I think we still have 400 kind of mathematically that we can still work through.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. You know, on Grant's flow report, I wrote up a little bit about that. We still have some fairly big numbers in March, 600,000 gallons a day. The strength of the wastewater is such that we don't think there's any infiltration impacting that. So our INI is coming. Peter Bedell did some good work last year, lining some identified manholes that were leaking pretty badly. And we lined those with a fiberglass liner material that should help with some of those problematic ones. We've got a few monitoring points in the sewer collection system that we're looking at to try to isolate and figure out where to repair more of that kind of thing. But I think the numbers we saw in March were truly just people and usage.
You know, one interesting thing I noticed was that wastewater flows in February were up over a year ago, yet resort tax collections were down 9% for the month of February.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of that.
I think that's maybe restaurant occupancy or something. I don't know. I mean, like the restaurants not bringing in as much revenue.
Well, some of them were closed. Elevation 8800 was closed. Andiamos was closed. So I know that was going on all winter.
I think there's also still restrictions. This is Danny. There's also still restrictions on events, too, that we're losing a little bit of revenue on that front.
You know, you do have a different makeup of some of the skier visits right now. Second homeowners are using their properties more often. And hotel lodging, you know, isn't necessarily up, but skier visits coming out of Bozeman and second home owners are. So it's a little different makeup right now versus someone coming in, staying at a hotel, having breakfast, lunch, dinner in a restaurant. You have a different makeup of the use. Ski visits are strong. It just is a little different.
Well, hopefully next year we return to people traveling out and spending lots of money at breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And then go home. Yes.
Not flush your toilets.
Right.
Just right. Looking at the parking lots, you figure out how many more skiers are coming out of Bozeman, even though they're not commuting, you know, or man, that was a lot of stress on the parking.
All right. So I'll be working with Scott on that to get another ordinance put together. General correspondence, not too much in there. The snowpack report. Gallatin, 93% mass and 86. So we're down a little bit. We had a great February, but March wasn't as strong. Kind of down all over the state. I did put a copy of the article the Chronicle ran on the 16th. Copy of my letter to the legislative committee that was working on this House Bill 255, which really was a fight that Billings Heights and Billings had going that created this legislation. And
they've amended the bill considerably from the first iteration I commented on, and they've addressed a lot of these points that I raised, but there's still a few things in it that are troubling, but we'll see what happens with it. And then the last thing I had was one of the comments we got on a sewer water bill payment. They got a new toilet, and so they're saving quite a bit of money now just with the retrofitted change in some of their plumbing stuff. So that's all I've got for the packet. I don't know if there's any other questions for any of these things.
All right, you have the next meeting date of May 18th. I think that sounds good.
Yes.
And I would take a motion to adjourn.
I almost will move that.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Bill Shropshire and a second by Dick Fast. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.